Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Not Another Teacher Podcast with me, Martin Malone.
And me, Poppy Gibson.
We're here to help you protect your mental and your physical health so that you can thrive both in and out of the classroom.
And beyond, yeah.
Not bad, episode 4. And I thought, I thought this one we could tackle probably the biggest thing which comes into teaching, which is saying no.
It's so, like, I
don't know about you. I imagine, like, obviously from your teaching as well, but when you've been working with the students in the schools and stuff like that, I imagine it comes up a lot. I know it's come up a lot with everyone I've worked with. And it is that pressure that seems to be in a school that you have to go above and beyond, that everything has to be for the kids, and you can't really challenge anything or say no. And you just kind of have to basically just give up your whole life. Like, from, I always joke, like, it's almost advertisers, like, right, from the half term, you will work solid, but it's okay because you will get like a week or a 2 week break afterwards. But you end up so knackered that you don't do anything in them 2 weeks apart from catch up on work and sleep. And then you have to go and do it all again. And that to me is, I think, we set good boundaries. If we start putting them in, I think it can be massively impactful. But I think one of the troubles is no one really talks about how to do it, because saying no is really easy. Like, just say no. But when you're in a pressure situation, that's when you don't say no.
Yeah. And you know what? It's the stuff around the no, isn't it? It's not actually the no. It's the implication of the no. And, like, not just if I say no, I won't have to do the task. But if I say no, what will so-and-so think of me? What will the leadership team think of me? How's it going to affect me, you know, applying for promotion? So it's kind of bigger than the no, isn't it?
That's it. And it's always that thing, isn't it, of, like, you're worried what others will think.
Yeah.
You're worried about how you'll look. And then I always think that ends up even being worse, because if you do manage to say no, you end up with, like, all these excuses about why you can't do it. When realistically, like, most of the time it should just be like, oh no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And that should be it.
But sometimes I think things go out of proportion in our mind, don't they? Because education is so consuming. Like, for people that aren't teachers, they don't get it, how it is so consuming. So something that you have to say yes or no to can become this, like, massive drama for us when it shouldn't be. We should just feel like they're just tasks, they're just part of our role.
That's it. And I think it's especially pressurized, I'd say, at the minute, because over the last 10 years, especially now, there's lots of budget cuts. There's lots of roles going in schools, which means that people are having to step up more. Like, I know 5 deputy heads who were all out-of-class deputy heads who are all now class teaching.
Wow. So now
they are class teaching, but they still have all them roles that they did as a deputy head.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's it. And I think that gets passed down then to, like, the whole school, you know. There's less money, so there's less people, so more jobs come on, and you almost feel like, I can't say no because everyone's in this together. But almost it should be that thing of realizing the most important thing for any teacher is how they turn up for the class. And if you are a burnt out wreck, then you're not going to turn up for your class, right? So what's the point in even being in the job?
And then it's a slippery slope, isn't it? Because once you're in that burnout cycle, how do you ever fully recover? Although, I know you told us once you used to take, like, 24-hour naps.
Yeah.
Or something. Okay, right, I want to share something with you, Martin, actually, on this topic. So, do you remember that other week I went up to Huddersfield Uni and I did a workshop on mental health, and it was really, do you know what, this is so insightful. I'm actually only just, like, really processing in light of what you just said. But the topic was mental health, and then it zoomed in on teacher mental health. So I started off talking about self-care, mental health, and we all agreed the best thing you can do for your mental health, to protect your mental health, is firm boundaries. Right, we agree on that, don't we? We agree.
100%.
So it's all good. So everyone in the room was like, yes, yes, firm boundaries. We had some really good conversations, like, get rid of toxic people, get rid of toxic behaviors, firm boundaries. And then I did a diamond nine. Have you ever done a diamond nine?
No, I've never done it.
Oh my God. Okay. I love diamond nines. I do them with my students now. And basically, they're such a good education tool. You get nine cards and you write nine things. So, like one on each card. So, you have nine things. And then you, it's like a ranking activity. You can give them out to like someone on their own or a pair or a group. And they have to rank the nine things from the top to the bottom, but in the diamond. Anyway, look online, diamond nine. You'll see what I mean. So, on these nine cards, I wrote down nine things teachers can do to protect their mental health. So I put on there things like get adequate sleep, like that I know we've talked about before, Martin. Do CPD to like continue, you know, learning and loving learning. So nine things. And one of them was firm boundaries. So I thought, okay, we've just spent the first half of the workshop recognizing how important firm boundaries are in life. We did the diamond nine. Only one single group put firm boundaries at the top. Again, not that there's a right and wrong answer, there wasn't, but it really interested me how when we were talking about mental health in life, we all said firm boundaries are important. When we put it into the classroom and we started saying, what do teachers have to do? Firm boundaries was getting knocked down the ladder. And I was like, wait. It's the same people, whether you're in or outside of the school, but somehow the perspective of the audience changed. And the firm boundaries became less prioritized. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, God. And do you know what? It doesn't really surprise me because I think in teaching, it's such a different world to any other job. And it's almost that mentality, which is probably growing in everyone there, where like, people, this is the most important thing. But teachers, like, it's almost like... Most teachers will think there is no way I can put firm boundaries in with school, so I will just leave that one.
Like,
go to the bottom of the pile because I'm just not going to do it.
Rather than go, isn't that crazy? Because that really needs to be near the top, right? Otherwise, nothing else. You'll have no time for anything else if you haven't got those boundaries.
And that's it. And I think it's brought on by a ton of things. I think it starts in uni and I think it grows through that culture. Like I always think when someone's at uni, the advice we got was be the first in, be the last out, join in with the after school clubs, take on any task you can. And even though uni was great at teaching me how to be a teacher, it did not teach me about school life. And I only got a 6-week block where I had to work my entire like get up in the morning, work, sleep, next day for a 6-week stint. So then when it was time to actually have a job, I was like, okay, I guess this is what you do. Where it should have been that more like have this boundary, have that in place. And then I think that comes into it because then that's probably been going on at least the last 30 years in education. At least. So then you've got people who are at the end of their kind of school life where they're looking at retirement, who've been doing that the entire time. You're coming in thinking, this is how everyone does it. And you're almost pressurized into never saying no, to just accepting how things are, any ridiculous, radical thing that comes out, not challenging it, not asking why. Like there's so many schools I see where they'll say like, oh, the head ask for the planning every week. And they're like, oh, well, the union says, like, they can't do that. I'm like, yeah, but they asked us whether it was okay. And we just all said yes. And it's like, no, you're like, we need to get to a place where people can understand the boundaries, talk about them. And that's what I'm thinking is with that. Like, they will not put boundaries first because they just don't know how to do it. We're talking about get a good night's sleep. That is a lot easier to do than put boundaries in place.
Yeah.
Eat more food.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But the idea of it, it's like, well, what do you do? How do you eat more fruit and veg? Okay, well, I'll add some veg to my tea. I'll add some berries to my porridge in the morning. Okay, that's done. You might not do it, but the idea of it is pretty simple. You go to bed a bit earlier. You stay off your phone a bit more. You might not do it, but it's a very simple idea. How do you put firm boundaries in place? Don't know. Like, and that's the big one, I think, which kills teaching. It's not the idea of, no, no, it's important.
Yeah.
It's how do you do it in a culture where everyone says yes?
Yeah. And do you know what? Think about what you just said. If you want to sleep better, you like turn off your phone earlier. If you want to eat more fruit, put it on your porridge, blah, blah, blah. That all just involves us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We can control us. That's easy. But when we think about something like boundaries, because we're dealing with other people, and because if you remember right back in episode one, and if you haven't listened to episode one, go back and listen, because we spoke about the fact that we think we're both people pleasers and that a lot of teachers are. So when we start talking about boundaries, that's involving other people. And maybe that is where the sticking point lies, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
We can't know how we're going to be received when we start standing our ground and we start saying no.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's so important that if you struggle with saying no, it's turning it into black and white stuff. Like, rather than saying like, oh no, I'm not going to do that, giving yourself very simple solutions to it. Like, I always say to anyone who struggles with it, rather than saying, oh, I'm going to say no more, ban yourself from saying yes or no. So when someone comes to you and says, can you do this for us? Or can you take this subject? Or can you stay late for this? Always just say, can I check my diary? And then gives you time to go away. And if you don't want to do it, you can think about it, and then you can get yourself into a good structure for it. And I would think that's the biggest one. If you really struggle with saying no, take yes and no off the table. Like, never respond to someone straight away. Give it that time where then you can have a little sit down by yourself and think about, well, okay, what's going to happen if I do this? Can I actually do it? And then I think that's always the biggest one.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that, actually. Yeah, don't feel you don't owe someone an answer straight away. Yeah. And actually give yourself reflection time. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
I think it's massive. And I think one thing that everyone like does not utilize to its full potential is their school diary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you take 5 minutes, have a weekend, and just actually put in like your full school day. Just put in the full week, be like, right, okay, this is what I teach on these days. What am I going to do after school on a Monday? What am I going to do after school on a Tuesday? What am I going to do after school on a Wednesday? And just keep it that way. Keep it up to date as possible in that sense. Think how long tasks will take you. Think how draining they are. Like, some tasks will be maybe take 10 minutes to do, but they'll be quite draining. So you really can't do much after it. Some tasks will take you an hour, but they're maybe cutting stuff out or laminating stuff, which doesn't take much brain power. So you know you're all right after it. And balancing, like, okay, this is exactly how much I need. That might take 10 minutes, but I know it's going to take me an hour because it's quite intense and I'm going to need a bit of chill time afterwards. And then when you've got that, you can also use that as a bit of a crutch. Your head comes here, SLT comes here and say, can you do this? Or we need this done by Friday. Can you do it? Again, you can go away, you can look at your diary, but then you can come back and you can say, I can't do it this week. If you look at my diary, you can see how full it is. You know, unless you're working for an absolute, like, awful, awful human, no one is ever going to go, well, it looks like you've got 7 p.m. free on a Tuesday. Like, once it's cut off, they're gonna know. Like, I think any time until 6, like any time past 6, like, you can leave free and it shouldn't be ever picked on as like, well,
of course
you're not
no.
working then. I'd want it to be earlier, but I always think that as a minimum.
Yeah.
And you're just gonna give yourself that boundary so you can say, can I go away? Can I check my diary? You come back with your diary and you're like, listen, look, I can't do anything there. You can see I'm doing a 10-hour day on Monday. I'm doing a 10-hour day on Tuesday. Like, there is no time for me to do that. I can do it next week on Wednesday if that works for you. And really give yourself that control by, again, like we were talking about before, people pleasing means you worried about how other people are going to see you. Take that off you and put it on the diary. I would love to do that for you, but as you can see, like, my days are already full.
It's such good advice. And actually, can I tell you something as well? Something I've realized. So I've never been good at saying no. And I've started it more recently, but I've recently had people say no to me. And it shocks me every time. So here's an example. Martin, you know I'm writing a few books. And I ask, like, would anyone like to write a piece for the book? Some people email me and say, oh, can you tell me more? So I'll email them back, tell them what it is. You know, I need you to write 500 words by this date. And then 99% of the time, they all reply, amazing, I'll get it to you by the deadline. But there's always like 1 in 10 that will email back and say, no, sorry, I actually don't have time to do that. You've explained what it is. And every time I am like shook to my core because after the initial like shock hits me, I just have this utmost respect for that person. Like,
yeah,
I just gasp. And I think I love that this person, firstly, they were interested. They looked into what the opportunity was. So yeah, they didn't say yes or no straight away. They asked for more info. And then they actually had the bravery and the courage and their self-understanding to actually stand up to me. Not that I'm scary, you shouldn't be standing up to me, but like to actually look at opportunity in the mouth and go, actually, Poppy, sorry, I actually don't have time for this right now. And honestly, my respect for these people, I just reply going, wow, like, thank you anyway. Maybe in the future, you know, if something else comes up, hopefully you'll get in touch then. But yeah, you would think I would be sad. Like, I am sad that they can't take part, but I just actually have respect for those people who can say no. It's actually really, really cool. It's really cool.
Oh, 100%. I think you see that in schools as well. Like, you never see the person who says no, you never see them, like, again, unless you're working for an awful human being, you never see their head be like, well, we are out to get that person now.
Yeah,
generally it's there. Oh, okay. Like, that's fine. They, you know what? They're showing themselves that respect. And I always think, as long as you are, I mean, when it comes to teaching, as long as you are turning up and delivering in the classroom and getting the children to where they need to be, you don't need to stress about all those extra jobs. Like, and the head will respect someone who says, do you know what? I'm actually giving my all to this. I can't do that extra task a lot more than the one who says yes to everything and kind of just muddles through. And I think sometimes maybe it comes from that insecurity of teachers to just say yes to, I'll do that and that'll look great. And I'll have it. Like, even though it's a great thing, the book you're doing and stuff like that, I bet there's people that messaged just so that they could be in that book, so that then they could, you know, this girl could sing and dance about that. Like, because is it EYFS, that one? Like, their EYFS teacher is in a book.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, and it's stuff like that. And even though that's really nice for the school, there'd be a ton of heads who'd be like, yeah, as long as you're doing well in there, that's the main thing.
Yeah. And it needs to be for the individual, right?
Yeah.
It needs to be. And so that is how, Martin, that's how I've started deciding what to say yes or no to. When something comes up, I ask myself, does this serve me? And I think about what kind of my ideal, I wouldn't say plan. I don't think it's good to have like a career plan because it can always change. But I kind of think, where would I sort of like my career to go? Like, I'd love to become a professor. So when things come up now, I think I have to really think, will this serve me? Will this be part of that journey? Or is it something additional that I really don't have time for? And I think that's what teachers need to do. Like, think, does this serve me? And actually, even if, you know, writing for a book will serve you because it gives you a voice, because you feel you don't have a voice in school, maybe writing for a book or a magazine or a blog will give you a voice, then that serves you. But if, you know, someone's asking you to do something and you don't think you're going to enjoy it, you can't see how it's going to serve you, it's not going to serve, you know, your joy of education, it's not going to meet your why for why you got into teaching, then you should say no. I think you also need to question how it serves you as a human, right?
Oh, 100%. And that's what I think a big one should be. And that's why I think saying no is powerful. Like, then you get to say yes to the opportunities that you want. Because even where you were talking about like a career path there, and I think a lot of teaching, again, another one which you said is to get experience. If you do this, you've got more experience, you've got more chance of going up the ladder. But you actually even look at just like your progression. Like, I bet when you finished, you didn't think, oh, I'm going to become a lecturer. I bet no teacher ever thinks, oh, I'm going to become a lecturer. They either want to be a classroom teacher, or if they're thinking about moving up, they think of SLT, deputy head.
Yeah.
Because that's the proof one. But you've kind of guided yourself on like, oh, well, what serves me rather than what does it entail? And it's almost brought you to where you are now. And it's that sense, isn't it? And that's what teaching should be, making sure that you're thriving with the classroom, making sure that you're doing well there, and then leaning into the opportunities that you want to do, rather than feeling pressured just because someone higher up in the school has asked you to do it.
100%. And do you know why you're so right? Because if you think of our energy, if we're doing something that we love, it's a different energy to if we're doing something we just have to do. So if you're just choosing opportunities that you love, opportunities that excite you, your energy is going to be higher. You're going to be like functioning on a higher vibration than if you're having to do things where you're going to feel boxed in, you're going to feel restrained. But if you're doing things that you feel lift you, honestly, that will lead to better opportunities for you, because what you said, Martin, you're going to be functioning at a better version of yourself because you're doing stuff you enjoy. So that's what I challenge teachers to do. Say yes to stuff that you enjoy. And obviously, we always have to do stuff in jobs that we don't enjoy. But yeah, that's a really good point. Choose the things that serve you in whatever way, whether it's career progression or just enjoyment. Someone else will do it if you say no, won't they? It's not just not going to happen.
100%. And that's it. And I think that's one of the biggest things in teaching. Like, everyone's so, I don't want to say scared, but it probably is scared. Everyone's so fearful and scared of that idea we were talking about before of what other people will think of them. They won't be a team player. They'll do all this. But if you just say yes to everything, you're going to zap the fun out of it. You're going to end up with ridiculously long hours, which you shouldn't really have to do. And you're just not going to enjoy teaching. You're not going to have the energy for it. You're not going to have the understanding for it. And you're probably going to be sitting there for like counting down the days, probably going, oh my God, like, I wish we could get to 3 o'clock because then I can do the work I actually need to get done.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. And also, do you know what I think? If you always say yes, you become the yes person. And then if you start saying no, suddenly you've changed. But if you start out, sometimes I'll say yes, sometimes I'll say no. Let me check my diary, see what's best for me. You know, you're just going in with a sensible, grounded approach. But if you always start saying yes, and also, do you know what I learned in teaching? Someone once told me your biggest flaw, is that what they called it, a flaw? Or your biggest weakness is that you have shown you're capable. And I think it's the same with yes. Your biggest flaw is if you show you're a yes person, everyone's going to come to you. They'll be like, I know he'll do this. I know he'll say yes to this. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
And I'm talking about that with everyone. Like, everyone lives in their own little bubble. Everyone's just got all their stress in their bubble and they just want to get rid of the stress. And if a head, an SLT, anyone in the school knows that they can come to you and say, will you do this? And you will always say yes. They will they will not care about what your workload is because they're not going to look at it. They're just like, well, that task is done now. I don't have to worry about that. That's one thing I don't have to think about now. And then all it means is that you're staying up till 9, 10 o'clock at night, feeling exhausted, feeling overwhelmed, not enjoying teaching, when really all you should have done is said, oh, can I check my diary? Gone back an hour later and gone, look, like, these are all the things that I'm doing. Yeah. This is what I'm at. And literally, that's what I really like about the diary, because you can show it to them.
Yeah.
And they will get, it's very hard to articulate how much you're doing. If you say, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this, it all becomes white noise. The person's not going to listen and they're going to be like, yeah, okay, whatever. But if you've actually got like, this is my week.
Here is my evidence.
Yeah. But it's more like, here is an insight into my week and this is what I'm doing. And they will go, oh, okay. Yeah, you haven't got time for that. And sometimes it will come with compromises and sometimes it will come with just a task being passed on to someone else. Like I know one girl I worked with, we worked a lot on her boundaries, Head come to her and said, can you do this? And she said, no, I do not have the time to do that. I'd have to do it. Like, I'd have to be working like every night after school to like 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I'm not willing to do that. And he was like, come on, you're not a team player. Or I did all this. He went away in a huff. The next day he come back and he was like, if I get a supply in for 2 days, because you said it'll take about like 10 hours of work. If I get a supply in for 2 days and you can have 2 days out of class on the computer doing it, will you do it? And she was like, yeah, I don't mind doing it. I just wasn't going to give up all that free time. And they'll come with those compromises. You know, it'll be like, okay, I can't do that then, but I can do it in 3 weeks. You know, I can do this, I can do that. And it's building that relationship so that you're still going to do what you want to do, but you're not going to be overwhelmed by it. And that's the key to teaching. I think there's too much yes, 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 yes. And then afterwards, there's that, oh, I've got so much work to do now.
Yeah. Because if you say yes at the start, it's really hard to, back out. And you know, you don't want to overpromise. I think take the time before you commit first, rather than if you say yes and then change your mind, then you actually become unreliable. And that's a totally different thing. That's not a good place to be in, because then you will lose trust from people. You will actually lose respect rather than gain respect, like if you'd said no at the start. So yeah, that's really good advice. Take time before you do the decision rather than having to actually go back on the decision later on, definitely.
And that's the biggest way that I'd say, like, how to say no, as I say again. Yeah. Just don't say yes, don't say no. Just always say, can I check my diary?
Yeah.
Go away, sit by yourself. Even if you know it's a yes or a no straight away, still just keep that rule in your head of, I always say, I need to check my diary.
Yeah.
And then you go away, you make sure that it's exactly what you want to do, you go back. If you don't want to do it, you think of why, you look at it, you go, you don't even have to think of why, you just look at your diary, you go, I have not got time to do that, or I don't want to do that. You go back and say, oh, I'm not able to do that.
Mm-hmm. So good. And you know why I think this message is particularly important for educators? Because I think we forget our power. We forget that we are the ones in the driving seat, but we totally are. And like your example you gave them with that person where the head then came back and said, okay, what if I get you a TA? Yeah. Actually, they knew that something had to change. They knew the compromise was needed to be made, but people are always going to try their luck, aren't they? So I think don't forget how powerful you are. Like, you have the power. Someone would love you to help with that task because of your expertise, because of your skill set. They're not coming to you, you know, not anyone could do it. You have skills, you have qualities that mean you are a good person for that job. But equally, if the job's not the right one for you, then say no. But don't forget that you are powerful and worthy, because I think that's what we forget. And that's why we feel we have to say yes, to keep proving ourselves, to prove that we're powerful and worthy. But actually, that's why they've asked you in the first place. So you already have that power.
100%. And hopefully, kind of anyone who's listened to this, it's really given that little bit of thought into their own life to how they can say no, how they can set those boundaries. Because as you were saying before, like, it is the main reason to like recharge yourself, to feel good, to get that energy balance back, to get that mental health protected. Like, so I think that's a big one. And if any teachers struggle to put themselves first in that way, like, remember that the only reason you are a teacher is to teach. And if you are going to say yes to everything, You may feel like a team player, but you're actually burning yourself out, which then means that you're not doing the job that you are employed for. You're not giving the kids the best version of yourself because you're burnt out. And if you need that to make you put yourself first, I think that's the biggest one with it for saying no.
Definitely. And on the flip side, on the positive side, do you seek out opportunities that you want to say yes to? Like, don't always 100%. Expect, don't always expect great opportunities to come to you on a plate or to come knocking on your door. Like, the best opportunities I've found that I've said yes to are where I've put myself out there, you know, maybe made professional profiles on different social media platforms, have a LinkedIn profile. Don't be afraid to attend online seminars, online events for teachers, things like that. Put yourself out there and see what opportunities might come your way that you're actually interested in. Like, you know, it's what you said, Martin. I never thought I'd do a master's and a PhD. Yeah. And I say to my students, you might do a master's and a PhD. And they all just like laugh or cry at me. And they're like, no, never, never. And they're like, I just want to get my BA. But you never know. So don't be afraid to say yes to things. If they feel exciting to you and if they feel promising, it might just be that you're going down the next correct bit of your path. So don't be afraid to seek out exciting things to say yes to. And that's what has kept my love for education, is finding those little extra bits and bobs that I want to say yes to that remind me why I love teaching and keep me going. So yes, it's just finding the right things to say yes to and the right things to say no to, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And I think that's like a really good one, like what you were saying then, you know, the reason why we're talking about how to say no is so that when the right opportunity comes up, you can do it. And and by saying no, you're going to think about whether you want to do the opportunities or not. And then you can lean into the ones that excite you and that you can do.
Yay. Like, do you know what? I'm glad I said no to some other stuff, Martin, because now I have space for our podcast. So what can I say? Proof is in the pudding. The podcast pudding.
Well, no, I think that's a really good place for us to wrap up. Hopefully, you know, in the last half an hour, everyone's got some good ideas. And do you know what? Even if just one person on here who's listening, like, it's given them a little bit of a light bulb moment where they're like, oh, that's what I'm going to start doing to start saying no. I'm just going to make the classroom just a better place.
Yeah, for sure. And every time you say no, you just imagine me and Martin sat on your shoulder, just like giving you a little round of applause. Okay, well done.
Oh, okay, but no, we'll wrap it up there. So yeah, anyone that's listening, thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
I know.